Welcome, everybody. This is Darryl Davis. Welcome to this month's Power Hour. So before we get started, I just want to remind you this is an opportunity for you to get any coaching that you need specifically on any issues that you're dealing with. So start thinking about it. I'm going to open up a call at some point. How you do this is you hit *6 on your keypad, and that'll take you off mute. So right now everybody's muted. I want to welcome all the new Power Agents. We have a bunch of new Power Agents on this month's call, so welcome. You know, the purpose of these calls is to go over some ideas to help you improve your business, to help you stay focused. You know, once a month, stop working in your business for 1 hour, work on your business, get focused, get recommitted. Now, the problem with these, any kind of webinar situation or telephone call, it's easy for you to drift. You know, if you're a part of a group, it's easy to drift away and, you know, do other things. So do me a favor, whatever is distracting you now, just put it to the side. Stop talking to the people in the office. Stay focused on this call. Once again, we're getting a lot of people call in now. I want to just give you those instructions again. *6 will take you off mute. So if at any point you have a question, you want to interrupt me, just hit *6. All right? All right, so now, let's see. Before I actually get into the content of, you know, listing and selling, and I'm going to, I hope Walter Hackett's on the call. I'm going to call out to him in a second. I do want to talk about our attitude just for a minute. You know, I don't know if you heard, but last Tuesday, Wednesday morning, we elected a new president. And I've been seeing a lot of people kind of freaking out. You know, some people are excited and some people are stressed out about it. I need to address that for you all as Power Agents. Number one, I think that now that the election's over, we're going to see some good stuff in our business. I actually think it's going to help the real estate industry. The reason why I think it's going to help is because there have been a lot of people sitting on the sidelines waiting for this moment to happen. So you can put people into two groups. One group is that they're very excited that their candidate won and now they're going to move on in their life. The second is they're not excited and they want to sell their house and move to Canada, as I would always joke. And that's really a joke. The bottom line is after the election, people, I think, are now settled to start making decisions to move on in their life. And I'll tell you just one example of this. Now, I invest heavily in the stock market. And what was interesting is during the election, we saw that whenever Hillary Clinton was in the lead, the stock market went up. And any time that Donald Trump or some news came out that was against Hillary but in favor of Donald, the stock market went down. So it's kind of suggests that if he won the election, the stock market was going to take a hit. Well, what was interesting is the day right after the election where it was decided that he's our president-elect, the stock market rallied, and it's been improving, and things are going up. Now, I'm not going to get into all the technicals as far as finances is concerned, but that really speaks to something powerful, which is that how people think is going to happen, what people think that's going to happen to the United States because he was elected or because Hillary wasn't, I say that we really don't know until after it happens. I do believe, though, it does say also that people are going to start making moves and decisions in their life now that this is behind us. All right, so anyway, I think it's a good thing. One other thing. The other thing is just as an attitude adjustment. You know, I was when I was checking in to the airport today, I was going through security. I just got this overwhelmed feeling of gratitude. And I started thinking about the power of gratitude. So I just want to say this before we get into the real estate content. You know, when I wrote the third book, How to Design a Life Worth Smiling About, and I took that course at Berkeley University in Science of Happiness, Sean Acre. I learned something very important about gratitude, and that is there have been scientific studies done that if you actually take three times a week, not every day, but three times a week, where you just take a step back and make a list of the things that you're grateful for, it actually will increase your happiness baseline. See, we all have a happiness baseline. You ever notice when, you know, something really great happens, that feeling of, wow, this is awesome, may just be temporary, and after a while, you go back to the same attitude or happiness that you were prior to this great thing happening. I call that the happiness baseline. So we all have this happiness baseline. Well, science has shown that if you get in the habit of at least three times a week, they found if you did it more, it didn't make an impact. But if you did three times a week where you say, what am I really happy about? What am I grateful for? It will actually raise your baseline of happiness. So especially now, because all the craziness and people might be upset at the election, you taking the time to think about what are you grateful for is going to help you in your attitude. So I'm asking you to think about that now. You know, if you were to list one or two things that in your mind that you're grateful for, that you're happy that you've got, that you've accomplished, whatever it might be, you know, just marinate on that. I think that will help you. All right. So let's talk about this month, this magazine. I want to go over the magazine with you. Now, for those of you, I just want to remind you, if this is your first call, oh, no, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that yet. I want to talk to Walter Hackett. So, Walter, if you're on the call, do me a favor, hit *6 on your keypad, and that should mute you. So, unmute you, I mean, *6, just one time. So, Walter, are you on the call?
I just unmuted, Daryl.
All right, there you go, buddy. I'm really glad that you're with us today. So,
may I make one comment?
Yes, sir.
You're talking about Wednesday morning, the morning after the election night. I got a call from a buddy of mine at 6:30 who said, Walter, thank goodness God is a Republican.
All right. Well, I, Walter, I'd say that there's probably some Democrats that would disagree with you, you know.
that's okay.
That is okay. All right, well, I'm glad that you feel blessed, Walter. So let's that makes me smile. All right, let's go to your question now about this do not call us. So why don't you ask me so that way I instead of me reading it. So what happened? Tell me.
Well, I nothing has really happened. I just know that there are where I am, which is on Lombok Key, Barrier Island of Sarasota, we've got a pretty hefty list of do not call. And
yes.
It seems like you referred in the 23rd of September meeting that there was a way to justify your call, and I just wanted to get that. How do you feel about that, Daryl?
All right, so if you call somebody who's on the do not call us, and they say, hey, I'm on the do not call us, why are you calling me? I'm upset, I'm going to sue you, whatever.
Right.
Okay. All right, now, listen, I know you may not like this this answer. I'm still going to answer you, but I'm going to tell you this. The chances of that happening is very unlikely. Now, I'm still going to address it, but it's real important that I first address for you the attitude aspect of it, because if you the universe is weird. If you go into the call concerned about that you're going to get your head bitten off about the do not call list, you actually may create them biting your head off because of the do not call list. So just have your attitude, your mental state be, you know, it's fine, I'm just going to call. Now if it does happen where somebody says, you know, didn't you see my ad was on the do not call us? I'd say, yes, Walter, I did see that. And but actually, in this case, it's not really applying. Some people they think that the do not call us means no one calls you. The do not call us means people shouldn't call you to sell you, which is the good news, because I'm not calling to sell you. You placed an ad saying, hey, I'm selling my house, and what I do, I'm licensed by the state of Florida to help other people move from point A to point B in their life. So I understand that you're trying to do this on your own. Is that correct? And then you would say yes. So what you'll notice how I handled it, Walter, and by the way, pay attention to the time here. This is 10 after 11, Walter, meaning that this call is being recorded. So the dialogue I just did, we'll post it on the website so you can hear it again, okay?
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right, so if we dissect what I just did, though, let's take a look at it. And by the way, what I just did, everybody, is for this is a good way to handle any objection or any kind of confrontation or whatever that comes up on the telephone, is you answer it, but then you want to get off of it right away. All right, so what I did is I said, well, yes, Walter, I did see that it was on, you're on the do not call list, but the good thing is the do not call list says that you can't call somebody and sell them, and that's exactly what I'm not doing. I'm calling you. I'm not selling you. I'm calling because I noticed you put the ad in the paper, say, hey, I'm selling, and I just, I'm in the business. I'm licensed by the state of Florida to help other people move from point A to point B. So so I do see that you are selling it on your own. Is that correct? Now, you see what I just did, Walter, with that question at the end of my sentence? I answered his objection, and then I moved right back into taking control of the conversation by ending the sentence with me asking a question that's mm-hmm. not related to the do not call list. Do you follow me?
I do.
And it sounds like, you know, you've been following politics, and if you ever notice any of the surrogates for either party, whenever they were asked a question by a news reporter, they would answer it and quickly pivot, right? And they would switch on to something else that they wanted to talk about. It's the
mm-hmm.
same concept.
Mm-hmm.
You address it, and then you pivot to something else. Did that help you, buddy?
It does. Thank you, Daryl.
Oh, you're so welcome, Walter. Thanks for being a power agent. Thanks for being on the call. Okay, so let me open up the call while we're doing this now. Let's keep this going here. Who has a question of something that you need help with specifically and how you can unmute yourself? And, Walter, I'm going to ask you to, if you hit star 6 a second time, that will put you back on mute. So who has, and I see some people have called in on the website, and they can actually see me. For those of you that called in later, just to let you know, if you're interested in seeing my mug, if you go to the Power Program website, there's a link. If you click on the link, you can actually see me sitting in the airport conference room doing this call before we get on my flight to California. All right, so who has a question? Just hit star 6 on your keypad one time, and that will open up the call to you, and I'll be able to hear you. So who has
a question?
Hey,
Daryl.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Bill Rigopoulos. How are you?
Hey, Phil. How are you, buddy?
Bill, yeah, from Baltimore.
Yep. Bill, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead, Bill, from Baltimore. Okay,
yeah.
Tell me what's going on.
I have a buyer with a very limited budget, and she likes a particular area where the houses are normally way above her budget. We found something that was in her budget. Now her family's trying to talk her out of buying this particular house. And it's in the right schools, it will pass FHA probably. We went to go see it. And now, you know, her family's against her trying to buy this house. I let her know, you know, she's living with her dad right now. So
okay.
I don't want to say that her dad's trying to position her to, like, remain under his roof. But at the same time, you know, if we don't get this house, what other houses are going to come under $200,000 in this area? You know, because
yeah.
they're all selling way above that.
Okay. Let me ask you this. All right, so I want to make sure everybody got what you said. So you've got a buyer who wants to buy the house. This is their first house. They're living at home.
Yep.
They're living at home. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes.
All right, so they're living at home, first-time buyer, and the parents are trying to kill the deal because they probably still want the daughter to stay home. Is that right?
Correct, but she's got three kids.
She's got three kids.
Three kids. So it's a little tougher to stay at home, you know, with three kids. And this house is, like, literally a mile away from her dad's house. So.
All right, Bill, I got something awesome for you. By the way, is she moving in with a husband or a boyfriend, or is she doing it by herself?
By herself.
Okay, God bless her. All right, listen. I can understand Dad. He's a good father. Okay, this is going to help you and the father and the mother, okay? I'm so excited. I'm so glad I put this in here this month for you. And I'm going to tell you in just one second. I do want to ask you this, though. How many times has she seen the home? How many times has she seen it?
She's seen it one time.
Okay. Well, that you've got to get her back in. That's number one. Let me tell you, this is a great formula, everybody. When you people will usually make a decision to purchase something emotionally, and then they justify it by logic. Here's what happens. You take a buyer to a house. They like the house. They emotionally bought into it. If you get them back a second time as soon as possible, they're now going to start going through the house justifying why it's a good purchase. So they emotionally buy it and then justify it with logic. So I cannot stress enough, Bill, you've got to get her back into the property as soon as possible. And tell her, listen, let's just go through it and see it another time. Let's just see if this, maybe it's right, maybe it's not. Let's just do it. Can you do that, Bill?
I can do that. Can we, do you think I should have her dad come through with her, or is that a bad idea? Because
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. Absolutely, because as a matter of fact, if you can't avoid him being involved. So, and if you do anything that looks like you're cutting him out, he's going to work even more against you. Are you following me?
Yes.
He's going to be either a thorn in your side, or he's going to be an advocate. It's one or the other. And the only way you can make him your advocate for her is he's got to be involved in the process. So you got to bring, I would definitely bring him through with her. That's number one. Because if he's not happy about it, he's going to kill it eventually. So
right.
You might as well get him on board or kill the deal as soon as possible. And I know deal, you don't have a deal yet because you didn't make the offer, it's not accepted. I'm using that term lightly. That's number one. Number two is here's where I'm excited. Now I'm holding something up to the camera here for the people who actually this month's magazine that I posted on the Power Program website, Bill, on page 24. Make a note of this, page 24. I'm so excited, Bill. There's a flyer that we created for you guys. Now let me tell you what the flyer is. I stumbled when I was doing my research about smile and happiness, etc. I came across some studies about home ownership. Harvard University, University of Wisconsin, University of Texas, University of Chicago, Duke University, the American Psychologist Association, Fannie Mae, and the Journal of Urban Economics, they did a bunch of studies about home ownership. Bill, let me read just some of what's on this flyer because you need to show this to the parents and to this woman, the mother. What they found is that there's three benefits in home ownership for the individual homeowner, for the community, and for the children. People, let me read some of these. Homeowners are happier and healthier versus people who rent. People who own a home build a wealth 31 to 36 times more than a renter. Homeowners are free to redecorate. There's a homeowner. There's stable housing costs. There's fixed costs to living. All right. Let me talk about the children, though, being that she's got three. Listen to this, Bill. They have found, all these universities, they found that children who live in a home that's owned have a 9% higher math scores than renter kids who live in a rental. Their reading achievement scores are 7% higher. Children of homeowners have a 25% higher high school graduation rate than renters. Children of homeowners are 116% more likely to graduate from college. And last but not least, behavioral problems of children who live in a home that's owned is 1 to 3% lower than renters. So you know what? Here's what I say, Bill, and this is what you need to say to this girl, to this woman, is that you need to buy a home for your kids. It's going to give your children, there's a stability emotionally. They feel more part of the community. People who own a home feel more a part of the community. This is so important for the well-being of the children. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That is on page 24 in this month's magazine. You don't have to do a darn stinking thing. We designed it really sweet and nice for you. You just print it out. And I'll tell you, here's when I would show it to there's no right answer. You can either show this flyer before you bring them through the second time or right after you leave the house, show it, give them this flyer. I'm not sure which is the best. You'll have to make a judgment call on that. The drawback in showing them this before you go into the properties, I don't want the buyers to think and the father to think that you're really trying to be a hard salesman, trying to push the house. So my gut is I probably would tell them, listen, let's go through the house the second time. More importantly, let's bring your parents through. I want them to see the house. There's no pressure. I really want to help you guys. I think this will be good for the kids, maybe. And then once you bring us through the second time, Bill, then you can also show the father, average sales price. Show him how this is such a great investment. If they're a Republican or they voted for Trump, you could say, talk a little bit about building wealth in real estate. That might be speak to his heart,
Right.
And I would show him like what was the average sales price for houses last year compared to this year? Did they go up in your market?
Oh,
they did.
In this market, yes, they certainly went up. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you got
the $700,000 new houses like literally a half a block down the road.
You need to convince this dad and say, listen, I know you probably love your daughter beyond words, and that's why you want to keep her close to you. Well, you know what? I can't think of anything better than this. You're right down the road from them. You're helping your daughter secure her financial security. You're helping your grandkids be better human beings because they're in a home where they feel home ownership. Children feel home ownership. They feel anchored. This is what's important. Kids need to feel anchored and safe. And that's what they'll feel in this home. And I know you love your grandkids as much as your daughter, and I know it's tough, but, man, there can't be a better situation because it's such a great price. It's so close to you. You'll never find this opportunity again. And and I hate for you to make this horrible mistake. So I'd have a man-to-man conversation. Yeah, I would have a man-to-man conversation with a dad like that away from everybody. Because
right.
If he's going to cave or agree with you, he doesn't want to be embarrassed around his wife or his daughter, so you should have that conversation in person, away from everybody, all right? Did that help you, Bill?
Okay. It does help me a lot. Thank you so much.
I'm very excited. Do me a favor. Put a message to me, either my email or go to the Power Group on Facebook. We have a Power Group on Facebook. Send me a message. Let me know how this makes out. I'm rooting for the kids on this, all right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you're right. You know what? You gave me a lot of things to talk about. I never want to be a pushy agent at all because, I know it's a big commitment, but at the same time, honestly, really, when's in her budget, in her price point, with three kids to support, in this particular school district, there's really not the likelihood of another – a better
no, man. Listen, Bill. Here's what you need to do. You're not being pushy, you need to be aggressive for their sake. See, there's a difference between closing and coaching. There's a difference between closing and caring. See, if you're trying to do it because you want to get a dot up on the sales board or you need a commission to pay your mortgage, that's selling. But if you care about those kids. And you care about this family and the grandfather being so close to the grandkid. I mean, man, you got to slap them in the head. You got to get aggressive, not for you, but for them, for their sake.
Right. Okay. I'm going to get on this right away then. Absolutely.
You better. Because they're going to lose this friggin' house. So get them over
there. They will lose it for sure.
Get them over there today. You get off this call, call them right away and set up the appointment.
All right. I'll do that. Thank you.
All right, Bill. All right. Hit *6 again, buddy, to mute your – put yourself back on mute. Who else has to need some coaching here? *6 one time. It'll take about 10 seconds for it to react, and that will take you off mute. So who's out there? I hear somebody. Don't be shy. No? There's nobody start six? No one needs any coaching on anything? No, it's just I'm good all by myself? All right. Well, then I'm going to continue. Listen, this is your opportunity to ask me a question. Come on. I sometimes have good answers. I don't know. All right. Well, while you're working up the courage to ask me, I'm going to go through the magazine. Is somebody there?
Yes, Daryl. Hi, it's Anna Maria.
Anna Maria, how you doing?
Doing great, thank you.
All right, baby. What's going?
Well, we are seeing a little bit of strengthening in certain areas, strengthening in price.
I'm sorry. Say that again a little closer to the phone, or if you're walking, you kind of broke up a little bit there.
I'm going to take myself off speaker. Is that better?
That's much better, yeah.
Okay, good. I said we are, in some particular areas, we are seeing a strengthening in prices.
Good.
The sellers are also seeing that because things are selling for higher and...
Okay.
I see us getting into that pattern where they said, well, Mr. Jones just got this and, you know, things are going upwards, so we want to price it this way. So I'm back in a situation where I go in with a price in mind after doing my homework and comps and whatnot.
Right.
But the sellers are not agreeing with what we're saying and because they feel that, well, let's just try it for $25,000 higher because I think it's going in that direction, and we can get it.
Okay. Well, here, Anna Marie, here's what I think. First of all, if prices are going up, I think it's totally okay to take over price listings, as long as number one.
I'm gonna go over here, and I'll back up.
All right.
Let's go down there.
Whoever's, I hear a guy talking on the phone right now who's driving, backing up or something. If that's you. Hit star 6 to mute yourself, and it sounded like Bill, actually. But whoever that was, star 6 one time to put yourself on mute so I don't have to hear you. All right, Anna Marie. So I think it's okay to take over price listings as long as two things. Number one, the homeowner, as long as the property is going to appreciate up to that number. So in other words, you don't want to go too high in the price where it's never going to sell or it's going to take 2 years and then it's going to be old news and it's going to be stale bread, right? So number one is make sure it's not too out of whack. Number two is the homeowner has time. You know, if the homeowner says, you know, if you say to a homeowner, listen, if I were a contractor, don't forget, Emery, I always believe explaining things with metaphors and analogies.
Mm-hmm.
So I might use the metaphor saying, hey, listen, if a contractor came to you and said, all right, you know, I can build an extension onto your house, and here's how long it's going to take me. It's going to take me, you know, 3 months, and
mm-hmm.
I'm going to need $10,000. And you say to the contractor, all right, well, listen, I want it done in 2 months, and I'm going to give you $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Any contractor that would take that job, you might as well not trust they're going to ever do the job, or they're going to do it horribly, or they're going to take your $5,000 of your deposit and run away. If this is how long it takes and this is how much they're going to charge, you need to trust that. So if you're telling me that you want to list it for $25,000 more, that's fine. We just need to, it's going to take longer, though, for us to get that. There's going to take more money, more expense, more marketing. I have no problem. You know, the good thing for me, for you, is that it's my you're not paying for the marketing. You know,
right.
If I take this job on, I'm going to be spending my money to advertise it, doing open houses, doing mailings, phone calls, taking the time away from my kids to show the product. I mean, it's my time and money. I'm willing to do that because I think we have a shot, but you have to give me more time to do it. It's impossible to get it done in 3 months or whatever. So that's the kind of conversations that I would have, Anna Marie.
Okay.
The second thing is, you want to show them, you know, statistically what's happening. You know, this might help you, Anna Marie. If you log into the Power Program website, you'll see under Classroom, Visuals for Sellers, you're going to see some articles about the USA Today and about homeowners you know, selling on their own, actually sell for less, right? So that might help you in this conversation too, because you don't want a homeowner to think, well, you know, my neighbor sold it and market's going great, I don't need a realtor. No, like, there's two different prices on every home. There's the realtor price and there is the FSBO price. Just like Kelley Blue Book, there is the dealership price to sell a car, and then there's the person who owns the car. It's always less, because you don't have the backing of a business. You don't have that security. There's something else, Anna Marie. I'm going to draw something. You probably can't see me, you know, unless you're on the web. But I'm drawing something for everybody else to see, and I'll explain it to you, Anna Marie. If you took a pyramid, right, and, you know, the base of the pyramid is actually bigger, and then the higher you go in the pyramid, the smaller it gets, more to a point. So this is another way to show the relationship of price and time. So, for example, if in the middle of the period the sweet spot is, you know, $400,000 for this house, well, there's going to be this many buyers, and it should sell in 3 months at that amount. But if you go up in price, so from 400, you go up higher on the pyramid, let's say 425, there's going to be fewer buyers that be coming to look at the property because you're now going into a different price category. Are you following me?
Yes.
And so if there's fewer buyers, it's going to take longer. You know, if you look at some of the properties that take the longest to sell are those $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, depending on your market. And the reason why those take so long is because there's fewer Americans that have the cash for that type of property. So, therefore, it takes longer. Said the other way, like we just had Bill on the call, and he said in the $700,000 price range, there's this house for $200,000. Well, there's a heck of a lot more people that can afford $200 than $700. So that house is going to go super quick. So the higher you go, the fewer in the pool of buyers, the pool is more shallow. There's fewer of them. And so, therefore, it's going to take longer. Here's a good analogy. Instead of a little pond, imagine a lake. So the lake, it's more water, just like it's a higher price. But if you took the same number of, let's say, fish and put them in a little pond versus into a big lake, it's going to take longer to catch those fish because the lake is bigger. And that's really what's happening here. Same concept. So does that make sense?
Yes.
Did that help you?
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Hit star 6 again, Anna Marie, to put yourself back on mute. Everybody, I just want to remind you is that whenever you're trying to explain anything, you're handling objections, you need to use stories, metaphors, and analogies, okay? And the best ones to use are the ones where you can use the person's own job, what they do for a living, as the analogy, as the metaphor. So, all right, who else has a question? You take yourself off mute by hitting star 6 one time, and then I'll be able to hear you. So who's got a question? Who's got a question? Let me see here. I'm just checking. Hit star 6, and that will take you off mute. Has anybody got a question for me? If not, I will continue. All right. I don't – all right, everybody's being shy today. Okay, good.
Hey, Daryl.
Yes, who is it?
This is Chris Phillips from Garden City, New York.
Hey, Chris. Hey, everybody. We got a fellow New Yorker on the phone. All right. And Garden, for those of you who don't know, Garden City is super sweet, super nice, super expensive. Chris, what do you got? What do you need?
So I've run into a few problems with a few buyers where even though they have the budget, They insist on coming in low on offers. Then, of course, the offers don't get accepted. So I'm wondering, do you have any kind of feedback on trying to get them to bring their offer up so that, you know, they can actually, you know, kind of get into the negotiations?
Yeah. So here's all right. First of all, Chris, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have my set of CDs, my learning CDs? If you don't, that's okay. I just want to know.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
All right. So if you listen to the buyer CDs, playing with buyers, especially towards the end of that, or it could be, I'm sorry, it could be on the negotiating CDs, It's going to help you. One of the things that I say and what I used to tell buyers is that, listen, instead of us trying to come in and negotiate up and down and back and forth, it's a stronger offer if we go to the sellers and we say, take it or leave it. Now, the reason why I used to say that, Chris, is when I would tell the buyers, don't try and, you know, come in and lowball, because there's so many different problems with lowballing. Number one is if you insult the seller, now they're not going to move off their number at all. That's number one. Number two is your offer, there might be somebody else right now writing an offer on the same house. And if yours comes in weak, you're actually helping the other buyer buy the house because their offer now looks better. So
right.
What I find is that, listen, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, we're not buying an investment. We're not buying a stock. We're not buying a business where we're going to flip it. You're buying a home. So if this is the home that you want to now spend the next several years or the rest of your life in, then you need to play to win your home. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, that's perfect.
See, people get in their head about, like, I want to save a nickel. I want to save a dime. I want to be smart. I don't want to be stupid. They get into all this emotional stuff about winning, about being right. Let me tell you something, and I'm sorry. I'm going to get hit by my staff here because I'm going to say they don't like me talking politics, but I'm going to say it anyway, okay, is that if you look at Donald Trump, see, people think I'm for him, and I'm like Switzerland. But there's something that you can look at this guy. Do you think this guy gives a darn about what other people think about him?
No,
this guy, he right, exactly. This guy, he does what he wants to do. You're either on board, you're not. You can talk, you can yell, you can say whatever you want. And you know what? He's still going to do what he's going to do. The guy is cold when it comes to making business decisions, okay? Whether you like, yes or no, like it or not. So, again, I'm not a fan of Donald, but that's the fact. Now, that's not this. This is not buying a building or a hotel or where you need to be. This is about buying a home. And people, they think they want to be savvy investors when it comes to buying a house. Yes, if you're buying a rental, you want to look about that from the numbers. Then that makes sense. But Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, this is, you're not buying an investment. You're buying a home. So if you like this home and you want to create memories in this home, then you should play to win. And just don't worry about saving. Listen, how much is $10,000? How much is that on a mortgage payment? Are you willing to, I don't know what that number is. Somebody help me out over here.
It's like $50, $60 a month.
All right, so about 50 bucks. So let me ask you a question. Are you okay losing this house for $50? Is $50 a month in your pocket more important than owning this home? Because if it is, you shouldn't even, this is the wrong house. Right? If $50 a month, or, you know, let's do it the other way, right, or do more numbers. So if they're trying to come in with a low-ball offer of, what, 30 grand, so that's, what is that, $150 a month. I think we should get clear on what that number is, Chris. But let's just go with your number. Let's say it's 150 bucks a month. Are you willing to lose this house for $150 a month? Because that's what you're trying to save here. And if you're willing to lose the house for $150 a month, then it doesn't sound like this is the house. You know, houses are unique. You know, houses are, you know, are special. You know, it's a relationship. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, you guys met each other. You know, you're special. It's a relationship. You just didn't marry the first guy that came along and said, yeah, or whatever. You there's a connection that you both have. Do you have a connection to this home? If you do, let's go get it. Don't mess around with this. Because let me tell you something. In 10, 20, 30 years, you're still going to make a ton of money. Because in 10, 20 years, you know what that house is going to be worth, plus you reduce the principal? You're not going to lose. If you pay $150 a month, more than what you're suggesting, you're still not going to lose long term. You own the home. That creates memories. That speaks to your heart. You have a relationship. You're going to create memories there. At the same time, you're getting your tax benefit. At the same time, you're appreciating. At the same time, you're reducing your principal. I mean, there is a win-win-win-win-win-win-win. So let's go get it. Did that help you, Chris?
Yes, that's spot on exactly what I needed to hear.
Good, man. Now pay attention to the time, 11:40. So you can listen to this, what I just said, when I post it on the website. You'll have the dialogue to listen to if you need to get another shot in the arm with it. So, you know, here's one other thing for everybody else, is that when it comes to putting deals together, you need to speak to people's commitments. And, you know, sometimes people, we've all heard this expression, get in the box, they're in the box, get out of the box, whatever. What happens is that people, just watch the process here. So buyer says, okay, I want to own a home. I want to find a home. So they get in the car with a realtor looking for a home, a place that they can come home after work, a place where they can have family over for the holidays, a place where they can raise kids. This is a home. Let's go buy a home. They find a home. Okay, let's talk about trying to get them down for the lowest possible price so we can negotiate and be successful negotiators. All of a sudden, the whole commitment of owning a home goes out the window, and they try and be right about winning an argument. You know, how many times have relationships gotten killed because somebody was trying to be right about an opinion versus being committed to the relationship? It's the same thing, because that's what we do as human beings. What we do as human beings is we sacrifice what we're committed to our life to be right about an opinion, to be right about winning our argument, you see. So part of, I got to tell you, part of being good with putting deals together, working with buyers, is half of it's actually psychology. Mm-hmm. You know, you being a psychological coach to handle the emotional roller coaster that goes through the process of putting deals together. So, Chris, find out what, speak to their commitment, which is buying a home, not a house, creating the memories. And you know these buyers better than I do, Chris. Like, you know how long they've been married, if they got kids, where they work. All that kind of stuff will help you in helping them stop screwing around and lose the deal over $150, lose their home over $150, okay?
Right, right. Excellent. Thank you.
All right, brother. Thank you. Hit star 6. Put yourself back on mute. All right, gang, so listen, here's what I'm going to do as we come to the end of this call. I want to talk about this magazine because there's some really great stuff in here. I want to address it. Those of you that are calling in on the website thing and seeing me, this is the first time I did this. I hope you like it, and let me know if you like it. And later on, we're going to add chatting and texting and have fun. But anyway, this month's magazine, first of all, we had a – yes, who's on the call?
Marty,
yes.
Sorrentino, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Marty, how you doing?
Good, good. I just listened to Chris, so I'm going to take 20 seconds and I'm going to be off the phone.
Okay, buddy.
Today we have to be more professional in what we do. And a lot of times, especially in the Garden City market, these people are smart. They've got a big checking account. They're buying a $600,000-$800,000 house. So we basically have to show them the value. And, you know, with our MLS system we have here on Long Island, it's very easy. We can just plug it in through a CMA, and we can actually show them, this is a 5-bedroom home sold for X amount of dollars. This is a 4-bedroom. And you can take them through a chronological analysis of the situation. And then, of course, my favorite line after you get those, because it is emotional, say, listen, how bad would you feel if you drove past this house and you saw somebody else standing in your house?
Yes, yes, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, sometimes you got to take the house away from them. You got to take it away. I've actually taken, in the old days, we used to write up the binders, right? I've actually taken binders and torn them up right in front of the buyers, and they've got this shocked look on their face. And they go, what are you doing? I say, listen, right now it's not good. There's no cure for buyer's remorse. I looked in Walmart. They don't have it on the shelf. So here's what we got to do. We got to sleep on this, right? I want you to go home and sleep on this, but promise me one thing. You will not think anything about this house all night long, and then we'll talk in the morning. Now, what do you think the first thing they did when they went home? They got in the car. They talked about the house. They went home. They have a bite to eat. They went to bed. They woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning cursing me out, saying, I can't believe Marty told us not to think about the house. That's all I can think of.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So
now, listen, the only thing that's
that
great fear. The only thing I would add to that is I would say, now, just so go home. Like everything you said, I love it. Go home. Don't think about this at all and call me in the morning. But just one thing, I got to say this. Don't get mad at me, though. If while you're home, somebody else buys this house and it's lost, and you say, well, that's because I listened to you, Darryl. I'm just trying to help you. That's the only thing I would add.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yep.
All right, Marty.
You're right.
You're a blessing, Marty. And I saw the wedding pictures on Facebook. Love it. Very great. You guys look happy. So, I know it wasn't your wedding, but, you know, I hope the wedding was fun. All right?
It was great. Thank you so much. Okay, take care.
All right, buddy. Thanks for that. All right, so now, everybody, I want to tell you once again, the Power Agent magazine on page 24 is factual, based on science, by studies about home ownership, how it impacts individuals, how it impacts a community, and how it impacts children. I love that. Page 25, I want to tell you something. One of these agents, what they did on page 25 in the magazine. By the way, for those of you who don't have the magazine in front of you, don't worry about it. Just write it down on a piece of paper. After the call, log into the website and look at the magazine. But on page 25, there is a, I'm going to read part of it. Dear client, we are looking forward to working with you and are going to do everything we can to sell your home quickly for top dollar. You can help us by having the following available and completed when we list your home. So this is a letter that you would send to a listing appointment. Now, if you're going to go on a FSBO appointment, you're certainly not going to send this because they're going to be like, what the hell? We're not listing with you. But for a client, somebody's called you, they want to list the house, in that case, you may want to do this. You send them saying, hey, listen, when I come over, please have the seller's property disclosure form filled out. Get me two copies of the property keys. Fill out the identification sheet, which is a bunch of questions about the property. So what's really good about this letter, what I wanted to tell you is, number one, is creating a template. Whatever software, whatever you use on a computer, to have a standard letter like this that you would shoot out to your clients. There's something else here, too. Marketing info checklist on page 26. In order for us to market your property effectively, we need to have as many of the following items as possible. Survey, title. So it gives a checklist as to what you need from the seller. I love that. Here's another one on page 27. Seller's edition, to help us better describe the amenities of your home, what your home has to offer, we need the following information: utilities, water, stove, hookups, is it gas, electric, how much are the monthly payments. Now, I'm going to tell you something. A form like this is, first of all, a couple of great things I have to share with you. Three things, Mary. Number one is, one of the things that you can do that's so great right now as we move into the holidays, which is considered maybe the slowest time of year, but I will tell you, the quality is better. Better quality of buyers and sellers. So you could still make money. As a matter of fact, some of my students actually make more money these last 60 days than they do the prior 6 months. So I'm not saying to take it easy, but you are going to, because you've got better quality, you have more time because you're not working with people who aren't really committed. That time that you have in these 60 days, you should be implementing systems and checklists and things to work on your business to improve it, right? So this month's magazine has a lot of great things to help you with that. The other thing that I love about this form is you having a homeowner give you utilities, costs, you know, all the details about owning the home. Most agents in the United States are really bad with this. What they do is they take the picture. I was looking at some commercial property on Long Island, okay? And it was, I don't want to curse. It was upsetting me because I'm looking at these things online, and there's all these fields about, you know, what does it cost to own this commercial property as far as taxes and rent roll and overhead and blah, blah, blah. And almost all of them were blank. This is why sellers don't respect us, because they see this and they're like, why am I going to hire an agent? They're not even doing their job. And it's important. So I think you getting really great detailed information about your listings, what does it cost to run it, and who the utility companies are, all this stuff, I think it makes you shine above all the others that are lazy to do that. One last thing that I love about this. If you go on a listing appointment and you show a homeowner and say, you know, one of the things that we ask our sellers to do is to give us this form filled out to tell us what the average cost is for running this home, what are all the utility companies you work with. If you show a homeowner this is part of what you do, it will help you get the listing because you're showing yourself a professional. But the number two is most homeowners don't do this when they're a FSBO. You see. So I like page 27 to help you with that. Page 28, 29, 30. These are all checklists and systems that when you, especially when you have a team that you put together to help your team, and when you hire somebody, any of you that are looking to hire somebody, what I gave you, you know, to have a buyer's agent, for example, on page 31, 32, and 33 in this month's magazine, it actually has a job description and a work agreement between you, the lead agent, and the buyer's agent. So I gave you that template in here. Let's see, what else I get in this month's magazine? Let's see. Okay, I don't want to teach that. Wait a minute, let me just see. Give me a second. Garrett, yes, there's – here we go. Why now is the best time to buy is on page 48 and 49, okay? There's a lot of other stuff I'm skipping through, but we got 10 minutes left. I want to make sure. But listen, these magazines every month, gang, there's so much great stuff in it. You're not going to implement it all, so don't get stressed out. The best thing to do is you go to the magazine, print it out from the computer, from online, go through it, and just pick one or two things that you like to implement in your business. Every month I give you more than you can possibly ever use. I do that because it's like a Chinese smorgasbord, though, however you say that. Anyway, page 48 and 49. Why now is the best time to buy? Low housing prices, interest rates are low. Anyway, what we did is we created this really great two-page, why now is a good time to buy, and this is good to use for during the holidays. There's a shorter version of it on page 50. There's fewer buyers looking during the holidays, so there's less competition for buyers. You've got to buy now, not after the new year. Number two, historically, sellers who are on the market during the holidays have priced their properties to sell. Number three, there's large selections of homes. Interest rates are at the lowest, the affordability. Anyway, so that's that. Let me see what else I got here. Okay, this is great. Help the house appraise. We've got this little article-looking thing that we created here for you. I'm just going to read this. 10 things you show a homeowner. The homeowner should keep a list of all the updates that they've made on the property for the last 15 years, and maybe you can give this to the appraiser, maybe. If nothing else, it's good to show the buyers. You know, when I do when I repair my car, I used to keep track of all the repairs on the car, so that way I knew what I did, when I want to sell the car, I can give it to the buyer. I don't do it now because my mechanic does that. They keep track of it, but it's the same concept. So any improvements you do to the house is a good idea to keep track of it. Number eight, keep the 500 rule in mind. Appraisers often value houses in increments of 500, so if there's any repairs over 500, you know, keep that in mind. Lock up Fido and Fifi. Some appraisers, you know, when they come over the house, they're allergic, they're scared. It's always good to get rid of the animals. Okay. Now, why a homeowner needs to price a home to sell now is another great – oh, here's the last one in here. And by the way, there's on the Power Program website, under the word classroom, there is a great – under sellers, there's a couple of flyers on the 10 reasons why it's better to sell your house during the holidays. So there's a small window here because we're going now into Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's. So there's a flyer on the website for you guys that's awesome. You want to print it out and bring to you listing appointments. There's one other thing here. Look at this. For some of you are watching online, and those of you not, on page 54, I stumbled across a company that what they do, have you ever seen those we buy ugly houses or I'm an investor, I'm looking to buy your house? And it comes in a mailing, and it looks like it was handwritten on yellow lined paper. I've seen this. Anyway, I found a website that's what they do. It's a mail merge. I'm not going to talk too much about it because you should just go to the site. Check this out. This is really great for mailings, campaigns, postcard letters with this specific thing. It's called there's two websites, yellowletters.com, yellowletters.com. No space, no dash, one word. The other one is gobigyellowletter.com. Go big, yellow. I guess they're big, and that's it on that. Okay, good. Let's see. We've got just a few minutes left on the call, Does anybody have a last-minute question you want to ask me before we sign off and I go catch my flight to California? Hit star 6 on your keypad to unmute yourself one time. Yes, go ahead. Who is it?
Suzanne.
Who is it?
Suzanne.
Suzanne Greenblatt. How you doing? Suzanne from Long Island. What is this, the Long Island call? Everybody's from Long Island today. What's up, hon?
All right, so I just got an offer accepted on the listing, but there's still an issue I want to try and resolve. The agent, unfortunately, listing agent, not very cooperative. They wanted 440. My buyer's held strong at 435, and she told us she's not leaving the chandeliers or the light fixtures. I went through the whole thing with my buyer that that's not what they're buying, blah, blah, blah. So they're happy with the number, but how can I talk to this agent about, you know, I told her, I said, you know, they still have to replace it with light fixtures. So, you know, with going to the international contract, I want to try and work this out.
All right, hang on a second. I'm a little confused here. Did we get people, did they agree on an offer, a number, or no, we're still fighting
over? Well, the 435, but the seller is saying that she's not letting the chandelier light fixes and ceiling.
No, stop, Suzanne, because, see, you're confusing the issue even with me. Don't say chandelier light fixtures again. What is the offer, and was the offer accepted, the number, the price?
$436,000 accepted. Price accepted.
I don't know. All right.
The offer
was
accepted, but they're excluding those items at that price.
Got it. Okay, so $435,000. The sellers accepted it, and they still are taking the chandelier.
And the light fixtures.
And the light fixtures. And the buyers are complaining.
Well, no, I'm just trying to find a way to see if I can get the sellers to leave it anyway.
All right. Well, you know what? Don't do that, Suzanne, because you're going to screw up this deal. If it's been accepted, then just keep your mouth quiet and just go to closing, okay?
Okay, because they're not happy. She's not leaving it, but they're dealing with it.
Well, you know what? Here's what you do. Help the buyers be happy by having them stop focusing on the damn chandelier and the fixtures.
All right. Well, I told them they could probably get everything for at least half of what she wanted for it.
Listen, you know what you can't replace? You can't replace the walls and the location and the mailing address. Do you like the neighborhood? Do you like the house? Are you going to create memories there? Don't have the chandelier and light fixtures. Don't even use the word chandelier. Don't have light fixtures rob you of the joy of the process of becoming a homeowner in this house. Suzanne, the more you talk about the fixtures, the more you're empowering the nonsense that's going to rob the joy from these buyers. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's not about the fixtures. It's about the home. Focus on that. Keep fanning the fire. When they keep bringing it up, say, let it go. Where has that song go? Let it go. Let it snow? What is it, Frozen? Come on, you know it with the kids.
Frozen, let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. Create memories. Exciting. I'm so excited. Let's move on. Yeah, but. No, but. This is wonderful. Stop it. Celebrate. Focus on the home. The home. All right, Suzanne?
Got it.
All right, sweetie. I'll see you Thanksgiving. All right, put yourself back on mute, Suzanne Star 6. All right, gang, so that's it for this month's call. A couple of things as we round down here. Number one is I'm going to take this recording and post it on the Power Program website so you can listen to it later, download it, iTunes it, all that good stuff. That's number one. Number two is, you know, keep checking. We have the Power Agent Group on Facebook, and it's in your emails that you've gotten as far as the actual name of the group. Call my office if you can't find it. You know, I don't use the group too often, but from time to time I want to try and post something up there. You can also use it to brainstorm. We don't have a lot of people who are part of the group right now, but it's good to network and to ask questions. If you ask a question on Facebook, I'll probably answer it quicker than the monthly call. The last thing I want to say to you is this. is that, you know, this, even in this election season and what's happened, but in real estate, buyers and sellers, what kills deals, what holds people back is their emotions, how they feel. They don't have feelings. Feelings have them. And the best way to help serve people is not to talk to their feelings, Suzanne, the feeling of the, oh, they should leave the fixtures. Speak to people's commitment. People are buying or selling a house, a home, because they're committed to something. They're committed to their next level. Fan that, fuel that, focus on that, and that's how you serve people. That's how you keep things together, and that's really what it's about. So I hope this call helped you this month. We're going to have Thanksgiving before I talk to you again. So have a happy Thanksgiving. I look forward to talking on the next call. And remember, we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. We actually help change people's lives. So your money that you make is a gauge as to how many lives you've touched and helped. So go focus on changing people's lives, and the money will follow you. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. I'll talk to you on the next call. All right, gang. Bye-bye.